Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, calling in tonight from the beautiful San Joaquin Valley in Northern California, where we have two seasons. We have spring and summer, and it is officially late spring, early summer in beautiful Northern California. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Tuesday night More Hearts and Talent Mindset Call. I host this call each and every Tuesday night, providing exceptional value to all of you listeners across the United States, Canada, and the world. I have been fortunate enough to connect with some fabulous, inspirational, motivational speakers, writers, authors, people who are very skilled at creating content, and world-class human beings. I have some great guests lined up for this summer and early fall. Now, last week I had Jennifer Trinkner, who many of you had never heard Jennifer on a live conference call. Some of you have heard Jennifer speak at some of her team events, and Jennifer really had her coming out here. Jennifer is going to be an absolute woman to be reckoned with, as she is really taking her multiple seven-figure enterprise to the next level. I've had people like Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, C.G. Siddons. I have guest speakers coming up, Tara Romano, Dawn Baron Ferrantino, my mompreneur extraordinaire, Bridget Bartley, and a whole host of people this summer and early fall, and the one and only Mr. Mark Victor Hansen is going to be a guest on my call. Now, right around the corner, a call to definitely put a dartboard in the red bullseye on, see, that would be on Tuesday, June 2nd, the one and only Susan Sly will be my guest. Now, that would be next week. So that is right around the, June 9th, Susan will be my guest on the call. Well, I'm not sure. It's June 9th or 2nd, one of the two. But she will be my guest coming up right around the corner. And that is going to be an absolutely call to that will be recorded, but to be played back over and over. I'm going to cover a few of the events where I will be speaking in the next few weeks, and I'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. This Saturday, the last Saturday in May 2015, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts at the Hilton Hotel at Logan Airport. June 6th, I will be in Norwalk, Connecticut. June 20th, Spartanburg, South Carolina. I love that city, love that state. I'll be speaking there with Bridget Bartley, who is my host. Bridget will also be sharing the stage with me. June 27th, my first speaking engagement in Baltimore, Maryland, the first time I've spoken in Baltimore in 5 years. I love speaking at the Baltimore Harbor. However, this event is right at the airport at the Marriott. I've spoken there a few times in my career. July 11th, I'll be painting myself a Birmingham. One of my all-time favorite country songs is by the great Tracy Lawrence, Paint Me a Birmingham. Well, I'll be painting me one. As July 11th, I will be in Birmingham, Alabama. Susan Reynolds, Natalie Terrell, and Delisa Christie, thank you very much for being my host with the most and bringing me to your city. On July 18th, I will be a guest speaker at one of Alexis Romano's team events in Newark, New Jersey. July 25th, I host a generic event in Chicago, Illinois. I'm a Midwestern boy by birth, lived there for many years of my life. That is one of my favorite restaurant and sports cities. I'll be sharing the carpet with the one and only C.G. Siddons. Now, C.G. is going to speak at some of my events, as will Crystal Lowry, will be sharing the stage with me at some of my events. On July 25th, CG will be speaking with me. Now, August 1st, Long Island, New York, one of my favorite cities. Joy Schoenholtz and Kelly Bartoletti, thank you for opening the door for me to that event. August 8th, I'll be in Marina Del Rey. Brittany Cara, what a lineup. Brittany Cara, Tara Romano, Crystal Lowry, and Dr., yes, the doctor, the passion doctor, the love doctor, Dr. Adam Scheck. You'll also hear Adam on my call before the end of the year. I will be in Portland, Maine on August 29th, Pleasanton, California, the back door to the beautiful city by the bay, San Francisco, California, one of the most beautiful cities in the United States, Charleston, South Carolina. I will be there October 3rd with Bridget Bartley, and I just put on the calendar Saturday, October 31st, I will be in Buffalo, New York. Beth Edney, Mike Blair, Ruth Sheridan, Tina Gray, exceptional clients of mine will be bringing me to the beautiful Lake Erie event. So that's going to be a fabulous opportunity. I have a few open dates. August 22nd is the date I will be filling. Those are my generic events where I will be speaking in the next few months, and then August 14th, I'll be hosting a one-day Millionaire Blueprint event. Within the next few days, I will be releasing tickets for Saturday, November 7th in Newark, New Jersey. I have a room that will seat up to 1,000 people. Thank you, Sandy Diorio, for assisting me to secure that event. Alexis Romano, Susan Sly, a Millionaire Blueprint event, and the one and only Mark Victor Hansen. Now, the opportunity to see Mark, the co-creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, the author of The Aladdin Factor, 1 Minute Millionaire, co-author with Robert Allen, an absolutely outstanding opportunity. Mark hosts great events. Many of you will end up buying tickets to one of Mark's mega speakers and mega book events that he hosts in beautiful Orange County, California. I've shared the stage with some of the top speakers in the world at those events with Mark Victor Hansen. Mark is a very, very good friend of mine has endorsed many products. You definitely want to get yourself a picture taken with Mr. Mark Victor Hansen at the one-day event in Weehawken, New York, or Weehawken, New Jersey. In July, I will be releasing my online coaching program. For those of you who'd like to receive some online coaching from me, a 3 to 4 hour course will be available right around the 1st of July, and also I'll be launching my coaching certification program. Now, for those of you who purchase that product, you will automatically become an affiliate to the opportunity to sell that product. And I will be offering a 50% commission for anyone you refer into the sales funnel. You do not have to close or sell the product, but anyone you refer as an affiliate, you will have the opportunity to receive a 50% commission on my online coaching and my coaching certification program. So I look very forward to launching that program in July. It's been in the works for many, many years. That's twice. Three for effect, many, many, many years. And with that, we'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I built my entire speaking career early in my career, going back to 1998, around one-word prospecting. When I decided to leave the comfort of a seven-figure income as a network marketer, many people asked me why I left the network marketing industry. I didn't actually leave it. I made a lateral transfer. I started my own personal development company, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I learned real quickly that the Amways, the New Skins, and some of the top-tier companies were not going to knock on my door, and I was not going to be getting a large speaking fee. That was some of my early delusion as a speaker. I built my platform around my coaching services. And early in my career, I had as much as a 6 to 10 week waiting list practically from day one for my coaching services, because I had created a large database from the existing organization that I'd created between 1995, 6, 7, and early 1998. My niche, as I started off my speaking career, was prospecting and closing. And it was a niche and a skill that I taught many people. People like Todd Falcone was an early co-collaborator with me, attended some of my events. I assisted many people in the late 90s, people like Susan Sly, to really enhance their ability to prospect and close, and some top-tier sales professionals who went on to become seven-figure internet marketers, people like Arthur Tubman, Mark Hoverson, just to name a few of the young men who I coached early in my career who went on to become exceptional six and multiple seven-figure income earners. Prospecting, closing, selling, branding, and marketing has consistently been a niche of mine. What I'm going to cover tonight is the real art psychology and how to effectively prospect. Prospecting means to find, to sort, to dig. To become a master prospector means to become a master asker. Three of my signature courses, a total of 28 CD audio programs, which were originally released part of them on cassettes going back into the late 90s, then into CD programs in the early 2000s. Then I released the standalone product, The Psychology of Asking, in 2008. That's a compilation of almost 25 5 hours of content that really covers how to break down the art of prospecting. Now, there's a high probability that many of you on tonight's call have anxiety when it comes to prospecting. Prospecting for a large percent of society represents the beginning of an era, the beginning of anxiety. And if you get overwhelmed, go into fight or flight, and have challenges prospecting, then you will have challenges ever succeeding. You can tell a lot about a speaker who has never really made it in the industry. The network marketing industry is filled with posers, people who pose as people that they've built a business but never really built a business. You can tell a lot about a speaker because if a speaker can talk to you about really prospecting, closing, and sorting, you know that that person has probably built a large organization. You'll encounter a lot of people who have never really closed a sale. Closing a sale is an art. Closing a sale is a niche. Closing a sale is a skill. And if you don't master the skills of closing, asking, prospecting, and sorting, then once again, you will have challenges. There's a large percent of free enterprise that has anxiety about the outcome. They get overwhelmed, go into fight or flight, and avoid the perceived pain of prospecting. One of the most important skills you master is using this word in your vocabulary, asking. A large percent of society in the network marketing, direct sales, free enterprise, and internet marketing have challenges committing. If you have commitment phobia, then you'll use words in your vocabulary like need to and I guess. I spend a great deal of my time, 14 hours a day, assisting people to overcome their addiction and anxiety about commitment. And if commitment does not show up in your language style or in your language skills, then you will spend a great deal of your time avoiding. And if you avoid the inevitable, many people avoid what they perceive to be failing, but really you're avoiding success because success has very many moving parts. Today in my enterprise, I have 3 employees who are absolutely productive doing the moving parts of success. I had a ceiling painted back a couple of years ago. I had one of my ceilings painted, and I have decided to redo that and change the color scheme. I had that going on in my house. I had a new brick wall going on in my house, and I launched my 1958 Chris Craft in the river today for the first time. And that boat, those kinds of boats predominantly leak, have challenges, and you got to be prepared for it. I had 3 different employees doing 3 different tasks while I was doing what I do well, producing, and you must become a producer, not a poser. But if you pose like you're successful and get ready to get ready, you will never receive the laws of compensation. And you must be able to have a for-profit organization rather than a non-profit organization from the discomfort of your home. One of the key components in your communication style is to let go of talking and learn how to ask the questions in a sequence. Now, many people go, well, what are the questions? It's not what are the questions. It's learning how to ask the questions in a sequence. It's not the right questions. It's not the perfect questions. It's the questions that get a result, and you have to be results-oriented. You do not get paid for time, even though time is your most valuable commodity. You must be able to sort, sift, attract, close, and create a culture. And if you have challenges doing that, then you will probably not make it in a leveraged business. Now, it's a very easy skill to master. The challenge is it's new. It's not hard. It is N-E-W. Now, if you know what you know and you let go of what you don't know and you spend less time trying to figure out what you think you should know and you spend a lot more time in the present, then you wouldn't get so overwhelmed. Prospecting is nothing more than qualifying people for your time. You have to let go of the word talk. Many of you go, you say, I'm going to go out and talk to people, a recipe for disaster. Going out and talking to people will consume a lot of your time that's not productive. You're not going to get paid for going out. You don't have a coming out party. You don't go out. Someone said to me today, they were going to go to the mall and do what? I mean, WTF, what are you going to do at the mall? You're going to walk around? You're going to just walk up to someone and go, hey, I'm brand new in this free enterprise business. Let me telegraph how uncomfortable I am. Why don't you just go ahead and reject me so I can get this over and go on home? Well, that's not effective. If you're out, you want to prospect when you're out. And many people say, well, I'm going to go to the gym and prospect. Really? You're going to walk up to someone who's doing leg presses and and just open your mouth and astral vomit. No, you want to prospect when someone's beside you and you can capture their attention or engage them. Your most effective way to prospect is going to be with your ass in the chair at your desk. Now, there are meetup groups that you can do, and they're some of those are effective. You definitely can prospect when you're at the gym. You can definitely prospect when you're standing in line. You can definitely prospect when you are dining, but the most effective mode of prospecting is learning how to create leads from the comfort of your desk, from the comfort of your home, the comfort of your table, wherever your desk is. It can be a bed. I don't really care, but you require this. You require a stationary place to become successful. But if you're an addicted winger, you're undisciplined, you're overwhelmed, you're going to have challenges mastering prospecting. Prospecting is nothing more than finding out a person's problem. If you can find out a problem that you can resolve, you have a high probability of creating a transaction. A transaction is when the money moves. A transaction is a win-win situation where the service and the value is transferred and the prospect feels good about what they are purchasing. And when you start to understand the laws that govern money and you become comfortable with why people buy and even more comfortable with understanding that human beings are predictable and you master that predictability. The next time you go to a grocery store, spend some time understanding what's going on in that store. Anytime you enter a grocery store, a major supermarket, stand outside of it and look where the two doors are. There are going to be two double doors, one on the left and one on the right. Depending on which door you walk into and which franchise grocery store you walk into, because all franchise grocery stores have a similar philosophy. However, sometimes they change the outside aisles. The outside aisles predominantly on the left are going to be the produce section or the deli, or it's going to be in one side or the other, right or left. And the minute you walk into that store, either door, you're going to be indoctrinated into buying. There are going to be baked goods. There's going to be brownies. There's going to be cookies. There's going to be baked breads. You can smell the fresh breads. There's a deli. There's going to be a salad bar, and there's going to be soup. And on the inside aisle, almost always, is the liquor section. Whatever side the deli's on, the opposite side of the store will be the produce section. And the produce section has reds, yellows, greens, multiple colors, shiny objects that you will be placing in your cart. The average person goes up and down a cart in sequence, or up and down an aisle in a grocery store in sequence. They start on one side of the grocery store, end up the other side, and then end up at the counter. Notice the next time you're at the counter, there's going to be more baked goods as you enter the last domain of shopping as you enter into the checkout counter. My favorite grocery store, there's baked goods in three different sections. There's also a cheese section right by the checkout counter that also has different wines that are chilled right there. So there's many shiny objects in a store. A grocery store's objective is to have you check out at the checkout counter with $350 worth of goods. That's the average shopping cart. That's what a shopping cart is worth, $350. What does this mean? It means that I've read a book called The Call of the Mall, a book called Why People Buy, both written by an exceptional artist, Paco, P-A-C-O, Underhill, who breaks down in detail the art of retail. And the more you understand human behavior, why people buy, you will become a much more effective prospector. Your objective is not to get someone. You're not a getter. You might be a goal setter, but you also must be a goal getter. But your objective is not to go out and get someone. Your objective is to attract qualified buyers to your circle of influence. Your objective is to be able to attract people who see the value. Your objective is to be able to let go of people relatively quickly who do not qualify for your benefits, features, services, and products. Your objective is to learn the art of asking, marketing, selling, and branding. You want to be able to create a culture, a following of people who follow you, watch what you do, watch how you do what you do, and then want to join what you do. That is the absolute ideal outcome, is to attract a laydown sale. Someone who's been watching you, follows you, sees what you do, and wants to join you. There's very little friction, very little anxiety, and those people are typically a very quick transaction and are ready to buy and ready to produce. But if you have anxiety about the outcome, you can absolutely sabotage that sale because of your anxiety, your overwhelmed feelings about not being good enough, not being worthy, not sure if you can take someone to the success finish line, and oftentimes your self-talk will kick in and you'll talk yourself out of a sale. Now, if that is you, you have to let go of your anxiety. To be able to be an effective prospector, you have to be able to ask the questions in a sequence. Simple questions. What do you do for a career? How long have you been an attorney? Where did you go to law school? Is that a successful career for you? Is that a rewarding career for you? That is one of the key questions that you will ask someone, because you can find out where their pain threshold is, where their dissatisfaction is, where their problem is that you can resolve. You must learn how to sell the dream. Along with selling the benefits and the features, the products and the services, you must also be able to paint the picture by asking the questions. The way you ask the questions, you have to have the proper posture. Posture is not how you stand. Posture is how you project. Posture is how you come across. But if you come across with very low self-esteem, anxiety energy, you're scared, you're in doubt, you're in any of these anxieties, you're in fear, you're afraid that you're going to fail, then you end up sending a mixed message. When you let go of the control that keeps you out of control, of being in control, then you can effectively have a relaxed conversation. A relaxed interview, a relaxed conversation, that is what prospecting is. It's being able to fact find, rapport build, and small talk, and create a win-win situation. But you also must be skilled at finding out, at prospecting, at digging, at sorting, at being able to go through a bucket of oysters so you can find the pearl. Sales is not a numbers game. However, it does incorporate the law of large numbers. I coached one of my clients today who was in lead poverty. I was able to share a few of my own leads with one of my clients today and gave him some ideas on how he could create leads. You must be innovative and creative when it comes to leads. If you don't have the perfect lead, many of you are shut down. If you don't have that ideal lead that says, I'm ready to buy, many people get overwhelmed, getting ready to get ready. You cannot be skilled at this profession without the reflexes and the repetition and experience of prospecting. Many of you had the opportunity to see the great Todd Falcone speak in April. I knew Todd back in the mid-90s. Todd was, like me, an exceptional prospector. I met Todd in a company called ProStep, where Todd was one of the number one income earners. Todd was also in another company, and I had the opportunity to meet Todd in person in 1998 in Dallas, Texas. Todd is an exceptional prospector. He and I used to call 10-cent leads from a company called ProStep, and I mean leads in the thousands. I also bought 10-cent leads from a guy named Craig Lindstrom in Cedar City, Utah. I used to buy $50 worth of leads, 500 leads every single week, and I would call every single one of them, leaving voicemails, going through the numbers. I would encounter disconnects, out-of-business telephones, people who were not serious, people who said they didn't fill out a survey, people who were not ready, occasionally someone who was not happy with me calling, so occasionally someone who might threaten me with whatever. I mean, big BFD, dude, like I'm scared of you. I mean, I would encounter some of that. But overall, I encountered a lot of disconnects and a lot of voicemails and a lot of the phone calls, and the people I did connect with, I was able to create a connection. When you are prospecting, here are some of the skills that you must master. You must master the skill to connect. The skill to connect is going to come from being warm, being affable. Hi, how are you today? My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm calling from Stockton, California. You want to be able to introduce yourself. Let people know where you're calling from. Let them know where, how you attracted them. If you were a referral, you found them online, they filled out a survey, whatever the situation, they responded to an advertisement. Edify that situation early in the call. It's a memory jogger. Some people forget that they called you. Some people never called you. Some people don't know who the hell you are. Remind them that there's a new sheriff in town. You are suiting up and showing up. You are here. You are ready, and you are looking for people who are seeking for a way to overcome their pain, change their quality of their life. They're looking for a product and service that will give them an instant gratification. Most of all, they're looking for a way to create an additional income stream from the comfort of their home. Once again, you paint the picture by asking the question. This does not require rocket science. For those of you who feel really uncomfortable not having a college degree, you feel less than, let it go. The colleges of today's world can't even deliver. 8% loan, are you kidding me? $40,000 to go to Rutgers University, $160,000 at 8% interest. You'll be paying off that loan for the rest of your life. Even if your children or you get a job for $45,000 to $65,000 a year, that does not compute. You want to be able to make $45,000 to $65,000 $1,000 a month in the next 12 months to 24 months. Yes, you can do that. What the mind of man and woman can believe, it can achieve. But if you think that's too big a number, wow, I don't know if I can handle that, you won't be able to. Your self-talk unequivocally will dictate your emotions. And when you come from an emotional low self-esteem, when you have low self-confidence, when you do not feel competent, you end up telegraphing an emotional mixed message. That mixed message then sends a sign to the person you're connecting with, wow, this person's in broke thoughts. Wow, this person's in scarcity. This person is really overwhelmed. This person isn't sure if they can do this business. I better ask them how long they've been doing this. That's the message that you send when you are in anxiety. When you put energy into failing, you failed before you failed to justify your failure. When you put energy into succeeding, it's a different kind of liberated energy. One of the dumbest things you can do is worry about worrying. If you're an addicted worrier, if you're worrying about worrying, if you worry all the time, if you worry because your mommy worried, if your whole family worried, then you end up sending a mixed message. If you worry about failing, I'll say it again, if you worry about failing, you failed to justify your failure. I just imagine, so I'm going to be an athlete, and I'm going to play in the Super Bowl, and I'm really worried about losing. Now, just how would that even show up in the locker room? Your teammates would pick you up. Your head would be in the toilet. You'd be tossed out of the locker room because you would be considered a cancer. Yes, that's what happens in sports when you bring that kind of mindset and that kind of attitude in the locker room. So don't bring that attitude into your office. When you get up in the morning, you must be inspired. Someone asked me today, what do you do to stay motivated? And I said, I'm not motivated, I'm inspired. Well, how do you stay inspired? I am inspired. Well, what do you do to say, I don't do anything, I am. I am is a present tense statement. You have to be present, show up, be available. N-O-W, in the moment. Every one of you on tonight's call could do what Jennifer Trinkner did. Every one of you on tonight's call could be a superstar mompreneur like Dawn Baron Ferrentino. Every one of you on tonight's call could do what Alexis Romano has done. Every one of you on tonight's call could do what Susan Sly has done. Every one of you on tonight's call could be a rock star internet marketer like my superstar homie Arthur Tubman. Every one of you on tonight's call could be a 6- and 7-figure monthly income earner if you'll stay in the game long enough to master the emotional skills so you can learn how to sell. S-E-L-L. I'll spell it for you again. The synonym is S-A-L-E-S, the highest paid profession in the world. Another situation many people say, I'm not trying to sell you anything. Of course you are. Get comfortable with being a sales professional. Imagine playing in a game and go, hey, I'm not a soccer player. Hey, I'm just out here having fun. You'd get your ass handed to you. Imagine playing in the Super Bowl saying, hey, I'm just here to have fun. I'm not really here to win. You know, I'm not really a football player. I'm just an amateur. You know, I'm not really trying to win. I don't want you to think I'm trying to compete with you. I mean, how would that even go over? Unfortunately, this is what a lot of people say to themselves. Your self-talk directs your actions. Your action is either going to reward you with inaction or a result. If you're in inaction, not active, that means you're avoiding the perceived pain that is not real. You must embrace prospecting. You must get the prospecting tick that the 49ers from 1849 had when they panned for gold about 40 miles away from me in the beautiful American River, right up in gold country, not very far from where I live, in beautiful Stockton, California. Wells Fargo Bank, a little piece of history, was a stagecoach company developed right out of Sacramento, California. It was not a bank, it was a stagecoach company. They used to deliver gold ore from Sutter Creek, where gold was discovered, to Stockton and Sacramento, where it was smelted, then delivered down the Sacramento River, where my Chris Craft boat was in today, going about 35 miles an hour down the beautiful Sacramento River today, taking gold to being smelted, being melted down, where it could be minted, and that was numismatic money, real, tangible, lawful money. Eventually, that stagecoach company became a bank, the Bank of the West. That's how that all came about. Now, you must become your own bank. In free enterprise, you must create results. You must create profit. The way you do that is by transactions. That means you close sales. You have to be able to state, I am. I am a closer. I am an effective prospector before it happens. You can't become a millionaire after it happens. You have to feel like it before it happens. That's a mindset. Your mindset, you cannot be intimidated by some broken soul from broken homes with broken homes that is sitting at home in their underwear, drinking Schlitz, breakfast of champions, eating fruity pebbles, Cocoa Puffs, or Count Chocula. That's how you have to view some of your prospects. You cannot be intimidated by a 10-cent lead on the other end of a call. I hear people say this, wow, I'm not sure if I can prospect people up there. What does up there mean? What many of you people do is you give power to people who have a job, and you're intimidated by someone who has a job because you have a business. And you don't really embrace the industry that you're going to be a 6- and 7-figure income earner. When I got in the industry full-time in 1990, I was all in. I was not ashamed to be a network marketer. I am proud of my identity. And if you're not proud of being a network marketer, you have to whisper it, I do network marketing part-time. You know, it's something I'm just kind of trying to figure out here. You know, I don't want you to think I'm trying to sell you something. You are. Sales is the highest paid profession in the world. Let go of your anxiety. Let's address this word. I'll spell it, R-E-J-E-C-T-I-O-N, rejection. Your prospects do not reject you. 1% of them will prejudge a situation before they ever get there. A few of your friends will make statements that aren't favorable. You have to consider the source. The person that typically criticizes you, what do they do for a living? You have to factor that. What do they do for a living? What good are they doing in society, the people criticize you? How many millions of dollars the people criticize you have they ever made in free enterprise by owning their own business? You have to consider the source. That if someone personalizes something to you and says something that's unfavorable, I mean, that might be construed as rejection, but when a prospect tells you that they're not interested, let them go. If they're not interested, they are not rejecting you. They are not saying no, they're saying they're not interested. No does not necessarily mean not interested, it means they are not interested. Seldom, if ever, in the English language is the word no used in context with someone being not interested or someone not being committed. So you'll encounter a large percent of the population that will prejudge an opportunity because they don't understand it. It's not your objective to be able to explain someone into your enterprise. What you do as an effective prospector must be easy. It must be S-I-M-P-L-E. The art of the start has got to be laced with simplicity. The road to free enterprise is paved with simplicity, a simple methodical system that you can create from the comfort of your home. You want to be able to attract and create leads at the comfort of your desk. They're qualified leads. How do I do that? By being creative and innovative, by repetition and experience. There are thousands, 1000 apostrophe S, thousands of ways to create a lead. Become creative and innovative and create a few of your own leads. I recently went on Google, just so recently as today, and showed one of my clients all of the health coaches in the New Jersey area. I just used that as a metaphor. I typed in health coaches, New Jersey. Top 10 health coaches in New Jersey popped up with phone numbers. But you have to be able to get beyond your anxiety about calling. What am I going to do with them? You're going to call them. I mean, if you have any intestinal fortitude, you'll call your leads. If you don't, you'll find ways to avoid it, tiptoeing quietly through life, arriving at your grave safely, broke and broken. But when you let go of your anxiety about the outcome, realize that no one is really rejecting you and no one's abandoning you, that you're going to encounter people who are not interested, people have objections, people have well-planned lies and excuses, then you won't take the process as painful as you made it. But if you perceive the process to be painful, you will go to great lengths to avoid the perceived pain that keeps you stuck. When you really understand what you get paid for presenting opportunities for people who see the value. And you're going to encounter people who don't see it as valuable. And the people who don't see it as valuable, you have to decide real quickly in the moment, is this an objection or is this someone that's not interested? Now, you're going to encounter people who give you a few objections. One of the most common objections that you will encounter is money, M-O-N-E-Y, L-U-C-R-E, Lucra, Z-O-I-Z-A, Zoysia, dead presidents. You'll encounter a few people who will let you know that they do not have the money. The more you understand what that really means, it typically doesn't mean they don't have the money. It means they cannot decide. If your business opportunity is anywhere from $500 to $2,000 for startup capital, that is a great value. I mean, you have to factor, is $2,000 a lot to start a business? Is $1,000 a lot to start a business? Is $600 a lot to start a business? Is $300 a lot to buy, to purchase a product of service and value? Is $500 a lot to invest in a product that could change your life? Is $600 a lot? Well, no, it's not. So you have to overcome your own objection with money. If you consistently say, all the people I encounter don't have any money, that's a direct reflection of your broke thoughts. B-R-O-K-E-T-H-O-U-G-H-T-S. That is two words, broke thoughts. If you have anxiety about money, you will continue to attract people and situations to fulfill your disappointment. When you start to understand the laws that govern money, numismatic law, you let go of any anxiety about money, because money is no anxiety about you. Money is going to find its way into the hands of the people who are comfortable with it. Money is an energy. It's an entity. It's money isn't a physical entity anymore. Money is mostly numbers on paper and plastic. The more you understand how to create value and service in free enterprise, the more you can command for your services. As you begin to let go of your anxiety about the outcome, you will send a different message that you've been sending. When you start to relax and be in your body, your leads will change. This is when people say they just showed up. They can't explain it. It's a phenomenon. OMG, oh my God, my leads are good. I signed up 3 people today. Well, why is that? Typically because you let go. You're having a better understanding of what happens in free enterprise. The law, the lid have been lifted. You're coming from a different level of awareness. You're transmuting a different set of feelings and energy. You're not as overwhelmed, as anxious, and you are practicing the art of letting go. Letting go is non-physical. It is emotional. It's separating yourself from events that no longer serve you. It's letting go of people who violate you and put you in a position that you have to explain, justify, and validate yourself. I mean, quite frankly, you really do have to separate yourself from people who are not in your corner. But you don't understand. They're my family. I do understand. I understand unequivocally what it means to let go of people as a recovering addict. I separated myself from people who were addicts. I didn't go into bars to try and prove that I was cool and wouldn't drink. I didn't put myself in dangerous positions. I started to use a common term called common sense. I started to use the practical application, the spirituality of a 12-step program called Alcoholics Anonymous. And what that said was, one day at a time, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That is a serenity prayer. As you start to become serene, let go, live in the present, don't put so much energy into what has not happened, your attractor factor changes. And then when that starts to happen, the people that used to not have the money magically, mythically begin to show up. And it's not that they show up with money. They show up ready to be a part of what you're doing. They want to co-collaborate with you. They see the value and the service. They see what you're doing. They buy you. But you have to be able to be your best. You have to be your best promoter. Would you start with you? Would you want to be mentored by you? Would you want to be led by you? Would you want to listen to your self-talk if it wasn't you talking to it? You have to be clear on that. And if the answer is no, then do this: change. Change is a choice, and the better that you begin to choose, the higher the probability of who and what you are going to attract. Prospecting is nothing more than asking qualified questions to qualified people. What do I say to people? You don't say anything. You ask. Say it 7 times. Ask. Ask, ask, ask. There's 3. Ask, ask, there's 5. Ask, ask, there's 7. For effect, say the term ask 7 times. Incorporate ask into your vocabulary. When you are scheduling an appointment at a restaurant, when you are booking a reservation, ask for it. When you talk to your children, ask them questions. When you speak to your relatives, ask them questions. How are you today? How are you today? 4 words, 1 question mark, a question. When you sit next to someone on an airplane, how are you doing today? 4 words, what do you do for a career? Where are you traveling to? Is that a good career for you? Hey, are you a frequent flyer? Do you often sit in first class? You know, what do you do for fun? I mean, you do this with someone who's open, who is available. Oftentimes, I sit in first class on outbound flights going to cities of my destination where I'm speaking. Oftentimes, the people in first class do not give me any eye contact. They don't look up. They don't smile. They're not warm. They're not friendly. They're ready to go to sleep. I take red-eye flights. I'm not being rejected. I'm not being abandoned. None of it's personal. That's the way it is. That's called the game of life, and you have to learn how to play it. Someone who is affable, who is warm, who is friendly, I will engage them. I will eventually get around to asking them what they do for a career. That's one of the most important questions you ever ask someone when you are prospecting, because it sets someone up for their to find out if they have a career that is not rewarding them, that is not fulfilling them. When you encounter someone that is not satisfied with their present vocation, then you have a solution. And when you are prospecting, your objective in prospecting is not to get people. It's not to sell them something. It's to qualify them for your time. You want to be able to sell the dream, STD. You sell the dream by asking the questions. You are selling the good life, and the good life is going to come from a leveraged business that creates money while you sleep, mythical, magical money, downline money, bonus money, originated money, organic money, money in motion, money that comes to you on your debit card, money that comes to you nightly when your e-commerce account batches out, and when you wake up in the morning it says $2,313 for yesterday's transactions. Now take that times 5, times 4, that's $40,000 a month. That is what would happen if you would start to achieve $2,000 in a calendar day. Yes, that would be a very, very good month. That would be the good life. The way you ask the questions will dictate the flow of the conversation. If you ask the questions in a very helter-skelter manner, yes, the song from the Beatles, I did try and listen to it backwards once on the White Album. It did not work, but that song, but if you come from a helter-skelter, overwhelmed, frenetic, frantic energy that's not conducive to creating a relaxed relatability, then you will have challenges in this business. You will have people that will not comply with your wishes. You will create your own rejection. You will create your own disappointment, quite frankly, because you set yourself up to be disappointed. You set yourself up to fail because of your anxiety about failing. When you let go of failing and put energy into succeeding, it creates a different E-N-E-R-G-Y, energy. You transmute and telegraph a different set of feelings. Rather than being anxiety, you are in awareness. You are in love, bliss, joy, and enlightenment. When you're coming from that place of peace, you attract a different type of person to your reality. This is what it means when people do this. They show up. They show up because telepathically, you are no longer sending a mixed message. You are saying, I am comfortable with myself. I am the leader. I am the man. I am the woman. I am here. I am here now. I am me. I am free. When you separate yourself from the events that shaped your feelings, that keep you anxious, when you let go of your anxiety about an outcome, when you let go of people who have violated you, who continue to criticize you, put you in a position you have to validate and justify your existence, then you're going to attract a different type of person and a different type of situation to your reality. Your deserve factor, D-E-S-E-R-V-E, your deserve factor officially changes. You become comfortable with receiving. When I first started to become successful, I wasn't sure if I deserved it. That's a great statement to say, especially if you want to sabotage yourself. I'm not sure if I'm worthy. Well, if you're not sure, who is? Nobody. I mean, what kind of statement is that? You have to be able to check your language at the door. If you're not aware of what you say, then you're going to talk yourself into poverty. I had someone call me today and they said, I'm feeling very hopeless. Well, welcome to the big leagues. I mean, we feel hopeless. Wow, that's empowering. I mean, we're all human. We all say these. I'm not suggesting you be positive, but I'm suggesting you be aware of what you say. If you're not aware of what you say, if you're getting discouraged, D-I-S means not, dis means to not, disrespect, it means no respect. If you are discouraged, not of courage, then you will not be able to attract to your reality the people you require in free enterprise to create the transactions that will create the leveraged business. If you are codependent, not independent. If you are weak, W-E-A-K, if you are a victim, if you are sensitive and defensive, if you are a whiner, not a winner, W-H-I-N-E-R, if you are a pouter, if you're one of those people that have their lip up, if you pout, if you brood and pout, energetically, the kind of person you're looking for will pass you over because you are not attractive. To be able to change your attractor factor, your energy has to be attractive. That means your inner beauty. You may have outer beauty, but if you're one of those people, the longer someone gets to know you, the uglier you get because of how sour you are, how bitter you are, how much resentment you're in, how jealous you're in. Well, that's not going to attract the type of people to your reality that you seek. If you're one of these people who get overwhelmed and get upset that one of your uplines is actually calling into your downline, oh my God, I can't believe you're calling my team. Well, you're probably not. If you come from that place, I guarantee you it's because if your upline is calling your downline and conversing with your downline, it's typically because your downline reached up or your upline cared enough about what was going on in their organization and your organization. It's a joint energy. The people who are aware typically look down and go, wow, there's someone in there that merits my time. They're not doing that to violate you or reject you. They're doing that because they're in the business for profit. They're doing that because they're in the business because they see someone that has some potential. But you have to let go of your ego about being right, about being violated. See, your upline is going to prospect in your downline for someone of influence or affluence. It actually might make you money if you let go of your control. I used to have people say that to me. I can't believe you called my downline. And I go, well, that's because you're not calling them and they're calling me. So I tell you what, why don't you call the company and find out if I have the ability to talk to someone in my team. See, it's joint ownership. It's not your team. It's not my team. It's not your mommy's team. It's not your homie's team. It's our team. It's called a downline. It's called an organization. You have to prospect up and also prospect down. When you're a leader, you are constantly looking for people you can mentor. When you are someone who's addicted, you are constantly looking for ways to be disappointed. And when you're addicted to disappointment, you will find someone above you to be disappointed in. It's amazing how this happens. And I know some of you are on the line are going, thank you for saying this. Thank you for saying this. You're making my task much easier. I know what it's like because I'm not a poser. I'm one of those people who actually built an organization, yes, a 6- and 7-figure income in free enterprise and network marketing and direct sales. I also want to mention that I was also in several companies that it didn't pan out for me because I wasn't the right person at the right time. I was in the right company a couple times, but I was not the right person. I was bitter. I was angry. I had unresolved anger, chip on my shoulder, brooder, pouter, and I was a dry drunk for the first several years of my addictions. I was not an overnight success. My first 7 years in network marketing, here's what was on the ledger board. My first 7 years in network marketing, I had 1 6-figure year. I had 1 $20,000 month. I had challenges in 4 back-to-back companies. I left Herbalife right when I was in my peak. That was not one of the biggest mistakes, but that was one of those errors and judgments I made. I followed the wrong person to a startup company that went out of business. I was the number one company in 2 startup companies back-to-back that went out of business. That will tell you a little bit about my recovering shiny object syndrome. I've been through the ups and downs of network marketing and direct sales. I've hit a couple of home runs and had several challenging moments. I've bent, but I didn't break. I actually went back and got a job. Once upon a time, I worked for a company called Cisco, S-Y-S-C-O. I used to call them Psycho, P-Y-S-C-O. I used to sit in the sales meeting and go, God, I can't believe I've fallen this far that I'm selling number 10 cans of peas to rest homes and care homes. It was a very demeaning job. It was one of the worst jobs I've ever had doing commission sales. I thought I'd have 5-star restaurants. I had nursing homes for most of my clients my first few months. As you can assume, I did not last very long. It was a one-and-done situation. 1 year, I was done part-time. I was building my network marketing enterprises. You must become an effective prospector. How do you do that? You do that by learning how to ask questions. And you don't talk to people, you ask. There's a way that you ask. You create a prospecting style, a prospecting system. Just like you have a system to operate your life, you should have a system that you prospect in. Alexis Romano has a great series of questions on a series of whiteboards. I came up with a great series of questions, and scripts are good. I've written many scripts in my life, but you have to be unscripted without winging it. That may sound like a contradiction. You must become comfortable enough through repetition and experience that you become comfortable in asking the same and similar questions over and over, because human beings are predictable. You're going to encounter people who aren't interested early in a conversation. I have been out to dinner on numerous occasions where I've asked waiters and waitresses, have you ever considered starting your own business? Many of them do not answer the question. They'll say, I'm going to school. If I didn't ask them if they're going to school, I asked that person if they've ever considered owning their own business. If you're an effective prospector, you will learn to ask the same question once, twice, and occasionally three times, so you can receive an answer to your question. You have to overcome your anxiety about being bold, being a dick, being a jerk. I know that's funny. You have to overcome your anxiety about offending someone. You have to overcome your anxiety about making a mistake, being judged. And this one, I want to slap you if you say it. I don't want someone to think I'm pushy. You have to be, not pushy, but you have to learn how to push the prospect's buttons, because a lot of times they check out. They tell you a series of stories unrelated to the question you ask. If you're overwhelmed, you can't possibly hear the answers. If you're one of these people that in mid-sentence you check out, you're concerned with making a mistake and failing, you check out in fight or flight, you're afraid you're going to make a mistake. So you've checked out. You already think about the next question you ask. Well, the person hasn't even answered the question that you just asked. You can't possibly ask a question based on an answer if you're checked out. If you're checked out, check in. And to be able to check in, it means you're in an inner body experience rather than an outer body experience. Being checked in means you're here and you're now. You're present. You're available. You're emotionally here. You're not overwhelmed. You're not discouraged, disappointed. If you're one of these people that you're a constant underachiever and an over-obligator, they typically go together. Underachievers over-obligate. Over-obligators underachieve. It's not a win-win situation. It's a lose-lose proposition. The reason that you will tend to over-obligate yourself, because as a child, you became a grown-up. It's not your fault, but it is your responsibility to change and let go. If you grew up in a family, you had to take on a role that you shouldn't have taken on, there's a high probability you're still locked in that neurological network, over-obligating yourself, underachieving, disappointed that no one is giving you the love and no one is giving you the money. Well, if you're going to become a millionaire, you're going to earn it. Every single dollar of it is not going to come from the sweat of your brow. It's going to come from your skills. Your skills as an effective prospector, your skills as a closer, your skills as a lead generator, and your skills as someone who can create a culture. Creating a culture is a real niche. I've seen people who are superstar closers, but they couldn't create a culture because they couldn't attract the type of people to the reality that they could collaborate with. I've seen people have to be the issue. They have to dominate their organization. And people who are good don't join up with people like that because they don't want to be controlled. They want to be led. They don't want to be managed. There are people who are self-sufficient that do not require being controlled. But if you're one of these people who have to control your control to be out of your control, then you have to let go of your control. And if you're so controlling that you're out of control, in control, then you have to let go. Your objective is not to be in control. It's to have a relaxed command of your emotional state. It's to be in the flow, in the game. It's to be in joy, bliss, love. It's to be able to navigate the situation. You have to have the reflexes to be able to adapt to a situation that's hand. So when someone says to you, how long have you been doing this? I'm relatively new at this business. Why do you ask? That's a U-turn. How long have you been doing this? I just recently got started. Why do you ask? How much money have you made? I haven't made a lot. Why do you ask? I mean, you want to be able to U-turn that situation. And you typically will never get that unless you telegraph it. To become an effective prospector, rule of engagement number one, relax, release, and let go. Do not create what you do not want to have happen. Don't telegraph worst-case scenario. Don't telegraph that. Secondly, when you're relaxed, released, and you begin to let go, learn to ask the same questions over and over, so it becomes repetition, autonomic, automatic, auto-suggestion. Learn how to state your name, where you're calling from, state your name, where you're from. Introduce yourself in certain situations. If someone you're meeting, you don't know their name, ask for it. You want to be able to create this. The sweetest sound to a person's ear is the sound of their own name. And start to ask, as I said, start to ask the same questions over and over. Ask questions based on someone's answer. When someone doesn't answer your question by saying, I don't know, I'm not sure, use those two words if you were sure, if you did know, and ask a question. You'll find that a large percent of the population will answer your question because you just gave them permission to say what they felt rather than checking out, trying to think of what to say. And when you learn, when you become that skilled, when you're present, when you're available, when you're emotional, your game changes. The people that you attract begin to change in a higher law of average than it happened before. You could get lucky, you could trip into someone, but it's better to be good than it is to be lucky. And the more you understand that the skills must be mastered. You cannot be a master asker without the 10,000-hour habit. The 10,000-hour habit begins tonight. Addicts always want more speed. Addicts want it here, they want it now, they want it fast, and addicts typically are not willing to pay the price. The price must get paid. I took some time off Saturday. Sunday, I had a full day of coaching. Monday, I had a full day of coaching. People ask me why I did that. Not only because I love it, because I own a business. I have an obligation. I have a 12 to a 14-week waiting list. I have to borrow time at times to be able to fulfill my obligations. I'm not a workaholic. I'm a producer. I can produce and relax equally in the same mindset, and I can produce guilt-free and relax free of guilt. When you can learn to be in that space, your attractor factor begins to change. You can't bring anxiety into an equation and expect to get a result. It doesn't fit. I mean, I'm just sharing practical common sense, quantum physics with you tonight that will say, to be able to have 2 plus 2 to equal 16, the quantum leap, to be able to have that, sum greater than whole of parts, for that to ever happen, you have to let go of the control that keeps you out of control. Just imagine this, trying to enter an equation in anxiety, expect to get a result, it does not happen. You have to let go of the worst case scenario. You have to stop telegraphing your fear, your doubt, your anxiety. You have to eliminate these words from your vocabulary, yeah, but, I guess. I need. You have to learn to eliminate those words. I commit. I decide. I am. I require. These are some of the words that you can begin to use and insert in your vocabulary that will create a much more powerful mindset. It creates a persuasion mastery. So I've just covered a few points tonight on how you can become a master asker, the mechanics of prospecting. Being a prospector isn't mechanical, but there are certain mechanics that you must master to become a master asker, a master sorter, a master prospector. Prospector in Webster's dictionary means to dig to find. So for you to become a master prospector, you have to become very skilled at asking the questions in a sequence. Asking fact-finding questions, rapport-building questions, creating small talk, relaxed relatability. You have to be affable. You have to have an affinity for it. You have to be able to have capabilities for it. You have to develop the habits, the skills, the routine, and the mindset so you become a master emotionally, what's going to allow you to get compensated. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Let go of being a poser and learn how to be a closer. This call is officially recorded. It will be available for playback tomorrow at 12 Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock Pacific. This Saturday it will be at the beautiful Hilton Hotel at Logan International Airport, Boston, Massachusetts, from 9 until 4 o'clock this Saturday. Next Saturday, Norwalk, Connecticut, 9 until 4 at the DoubleTree by Hilton in Norwalk, Connecticut. Thank you very much, everyone. You have an absolute great evening. We're at the very end of May. Have an absolute great close of the month of May and a very strong start to the month of June. Have a great evening, everyone.